All right, week 13 of college football. First year of the 12-team playoff, and we are going to learn a lot. Someone has to win the Big 12, or excuse me, someone has to play for the Big 12. Someone has to play for the SEC. Like, it's pretty crazy. Week to week, obviously, Alabama going down is a huge deal because they're in the position to be in the SEC championship game. BYU going down, Colorado going down. Like, dude, it's a lot of madness. Indiana went down early. It felt like Indiana and Ohio State played 3 days ago, Brent. Like, it literally felt like that was.
I agree.
Like, it doesn't it?
It feels like a long time ago. I feel like the only constant in college football now is chaos. It's week to week. Which, by the way, speaking of Bama and losing at Oklahoma, somebody said that Bama was more likely to be a three-loss team than go undefeated. I wonder who that was. I think that was one of us. It was probably the good-looking bald guy, I think.
The good-looking bald guy. The bald guy. I don't know about good-looking.
Well, I tried.
Yeah, but no, I mean, Bama's an interesting enigma. I mean, they've been really hot or cold. I tell you what, if you'd have told me that Oklahoma's offense actually had a chance to show up, we haven't seen that all year long. The ground game was insane. Obviously, Jalen Milroe, three interceptions, you know, didn't help. Didn't help anything. But dadgum Boomer Sooner, man. I tell you what, like, it shows you something about your coach. And it's not just in Oklahoma. It's in Gainesville. It's in Lawrence, Kansas. Like, it's all these teams that they're not quitting on their coaches, man. Like, no. They're continuing to fight. That shows you something that you have at that coaching spot. And Venables got them dialed in. They got the ground game going. And here's the thing. They even stunk early. They were doing Oklahoma things early with dropping touchdown passes, missing field goals, fumbling in the red zone. So this could have been way worse. Way worse. And I love what – and I'm going to give it to you, Brent, with this. I love what Brent Venables did offensively. You know what they did? They did Vanderbilt.
Simplify.
That's exactly what they did. They did Vanderbilt. Like, same formations, running quarterback, run him inside, run him outside, let him throw off of it, like, run the play clock down. I mean, just it was brilliant game planning by Oklahoma, brilliant execution, and this is their big first win in the SEC.
Happy for Todd Donnan, who was at the game, by the way, Coach Donnan's son. He's a big Sooner fan, so he was there and enjoyed that victory. But it goes to show the coach part, I think, is the most salient point. But also how big of, like, Alabama – this was their first game against Alabama in the SEC. The environment, the night game, all those things matter now. Where in college football in general – over time, it was talent kind of won out for the most part. Now, all the, I guess, factors that truly matter in terms of football coaching and whatnot, injuries, home away, did you play somebody big the previous week, all that sort of stuff, like, that matters. And it showed again tonight.
Yeah, it matters because rosters are different. Talent is more spread out. Schedule is with the talent spread out now, the schedules are going to matter more. The teams you're more likely to be beaten every week. What about Auburn just continuing to fight, like trying their best to pull an Auburn
hanging around? Like,
it's going live now. And Auburn, I tell you what, Auburn fans, I always feel for you because I'm like this. They look so good, man. Like, they're dominating A&M, tearing them up. Shank a punt. Turn the football over, like shank another punt, miss a field goal, and just doing all those things to kind of shoot themselves in the foot. Auburn's got a ton of youth playing right now, a ton of guys that are young. They're going to get better. They're going to continue to grow. Obviously, when you look at Cam Coleman, he's a monster. He's going to be a monster. They keep talking about guys on defense over and over that are going to be good. And is this the game that Auburn could finally get over that hump? And they're very much in position as we speak. I know everybody's paying attention probably to both.
Well, what's interesting about that is you had Elko's kind of Freudian slip in a way earlier in the week where he said, we're just focused on Texas. I mean Auburn. And it was that way to start. Auburn out the gates was taking care of business. And then A&M has just fought back, and you know, had the lead now. But that makes it more interesting in terms of all of the SEC championship game scenarios, depending upon the outcome of this game, because Georgia's very much in that mix now.
Yeah, unfortunately. You don't want to be in the mix, by the way. You don't want to play in the conference championship game. Just like last year, Georgia plays in it because they played in it. They don't get to go to the college football playoff. You know, and Lane Kiffin was talking about it, and apparently he took himself out of the mix. He didn't want to be in that either.
He didn't want to be in anything.
No, but I think, Brent, I think circumstances more than ever are going to matter, and people are going to have to start paying attention to circumstances. And when I say that, you know, the Texas look ahead, you know, A&M look ahead to Texas at Auburn, Auburn nothing to lose, those type of things next week. Michigan, by the way, is going to be in a position with nothing to lose next week against Ohio State, everything to gain, a lot of pressure on Ohio State. Speaking of Ohio State, pretty convincing win. Their defense, again, their defense to me has been the biggest part of their team this year. Like, I think two touchdowns. Now three touchdowns, you know, or two touchdowns going into this game in the last four games, like since Auburn or since Oregon. Been dialed in, really good, really disciplined, make you earn it. Indiana's first drive, Brent, I looked at this earlier, first drive 70 yards for Indiana. They get a touchdown, they stay in rhythm, third and short, easy situations. Next eight drives, they had 19 yards. 19. Like, Ohio State strangled them. Special teams kicked in. Ohio State dominated the football game.
That, and they were 4-4 on third down during that game, or during that first drive. Got the penalties. OSU secondary was kind of handsy and struggled early. But then after that,
they're always handsy.
Well, yes. It was like, hey, we have better players. Let's just go attack. And then it became a varsity versus the JV kind of game. It looked that way. And that's one of those for me where, from a committee standpoint, where they're saying, hey, do you watch the games? I've said this before, but there are levels in this game. And that was one team's on a whole other level than another team.
Yeah. And the thing is, it was a lopsided game anyways. But Ohio State had their first three trips into the red zone, got 7 points. They got a tipped pass that was an interception. They got stopped once. You know, credit to Indiana, but it could have been worse. They got the special teams break before the half. They returned the kick in the second half, and then it's kind of over. And then you just wonder about style points, and you just wonder about how the committee looks at this. Obviously, the first game Indiana's played with big competition. I like the way they started, obviously the way they finished. No bueno. Well,
the other losses, though, the other things that are going on the rest of the day actually helped Indiana, because now they're just going to be – I mean, they win next week. They're going to be sitting there in as 11-1 team. And, you know, okay, now you're going to be in almost by default because everybody else has struggled. But Caleb Downs.
He's good. He's good this
thing
called football.
He's really good. He's really stinking good at football.
Yeah, that's why Georgia wanted him so bad.
I mean, and he was the best offensive player as a senior in high school in the state. Like, he was that good as an offensive player, let alone a defensive player that he's been in college.
You know what's amazing about Ohio State? And this is the last thing, and we move to the next thing. There's a lot of guys that are going to get drafted. Downs is the best player. He doesn't always show it. He doesn't always show up as the best, most dominant player. I don't see a lot of – like, just game wreckers, but I don't see very much weakness except for the cornerback spot. I gotta address the cornerback spot as a weakness. I've seen enough to know that there's enough penalties back there, enough flags, enough big plays that it's not a strength. But you just a lot of solid across the board. Let's go next to Gainesville, because first of all, I want to point this out, Brent. I tweeted this and I sent it to you. I love this fact about what we've been able to do here so far with our small start. But, like, we've talked about Arizona State ad nauseum. We've talked about Indiana earlier this season. We've talked about Florida all year long and how they continue to compete. We've talked about South Carolina. A lot of people just paying attention to Arizona State. I'm seeing all this stuff like, oh, look at this. They're really good. Yeah, no crap. We've been doing this for a while. Like, we should have been paying attention, but we've seen Florida. And we've seen them compete at an elite level. And we've talked about Lagway. And it's interesting. You think about Florida too, Brent. They could have beaten Tennessee, but Mertz got hurt, right? They could have beaten Georgia, but Lagway got hurt. And they've had some issues there, but like for Napier to keep that thing together, continue to play good defense, turn Dart over several times, especially late in that football game. But, man, it just – they ran the rock on Ole Miss, which nobody's done. They that protected the their quarterback part. On Ole Miss, which nobody's done. That D-line has ate everyone's life alive. Like, they've dominated every football game, and Florida more than held their own. Lagway's still not even completely healthy, and Florida takes care of business. Back-to-back ranked wins.
By the way, Auburn just made a field goal to tie the game, so that's a tie game with 5 seconds to go. But you the – the point of them running the ball, that's what the most part of that game was, Florida's ability to run the football and then Lagway make big plays. And then they were struggling. It was kind of a lull, and then he hit a big play to 17, and that got them going again. Walter Nolan he was still all over the place for Ole Miss's D-line. But the big thing was and your boy Greg McElroy was beside himself during the game at the fourth and – shorts and the short yardage with Pegues and the what was a 100% success rate going into the game, Ofer. For the most part of that game.
Which is, by the way, that's nuts, man, because he's such a big dude and he obviously moves so well. It usually is automatic, but Ole Miss has been doing this all year. Run game lacking, missed opportunities on fourth down. Yes, they also get aggressive. Trey Harris goes down in the football game, which is a big deal, and that obviously, you know, really, really hurt them. But Jackson Dart, I've bragged on him, Brent. You know I have. Like, I think if I was a quarterback in college football right now, I'd probably be Jackson Dart. I just love the emotion. And
you're kind of built like him, too.
But I just love the way he – I just love his demeanor. Like, his demeanor is awesome. His care level is awesome. Man, he did not play well. He folded up late in that game. Like, forced the ball down the field, threw another late interception. It got overturned, then throws another one. Had opportunity after opportunity to make some plays. And listen, a lot is on him. Like, without the running game, he has to run a lot. Like, so I understand there's a lot on his plate. I love the way he competes, but just came up with too many mistakes. The lack of run game for Ole Miss, like the lack of balance for them really cost them. And, you know, I think that's probably it for their playoff chances. But I tell you what, everybody continued to lose and things going nuts. I guess we really don't know. But the problem with Ole Miss is their losses now and who they are, who they lost to is going to continue to stack up for them, because you lose to an unranked Kentucky. Florida, an unranked Kentucky, an unranked LSU. So they got three unranked losses. I think that pretty much, you know, ends the season probably for Ole Miss.
And now it goes to the question of Lane Kiffin and his strategy and how, where they went versus, and resource expenditure and how they decided to go all in on the defensive side of the football. Thought, hey, we can take care of the offense. Well, what's their downfall? Offensive line and lack of running game and lack of balance on their team. And that's a lot of just resource allocation as much
you
as
you can't
anything.
Do both. Well, and Lane, to his credit, the thing I like about that is I think he coaches offense so well, he bet on himself to do that well. Yep. Another interesting thought, Brent. I think there is a lot of people that are in Gainesville, Florida, that have been talking about bringing Lane Kiffin on board and how much money would it cost. He is the guy. And for him to go in there and lose to Billy Napier, like, that puts a lot of cold water on that topic that was running all over the place, especially earlier in the season. And obviously a lot of disappointment, because Ole Miss was looking like, I'm a Florida win and a Mississippi State win from punching my ticket and getting into the college football playoff. And that's a tough one to swallow. That's a really tough one to swallow.
Especially when you know you had, from a talent top to bottom, and with Harris being gone for a while and then hurt and then back, they had talent to win the whole thing, especially with the defensive line talent they have, that because that can control games. Yeah. Texas, by the way, speaking of defensive talent, their defense continues to carry them.
Just good.
Just consistent.
At every level. At every level, yes. They're good. They rush the passer well. They stop the run. They cover well. Like, Yeah, I think in a year where there's so much up and down and so much, you know, talk about how we don't know which team's going to consistently show up. I know Texas's defense is going to show up. But and remember, when Georgia handled them, their offense put them in bad position after bad position after bad position, and their defense kept coming up with stops. So that wasn't a day where they got whooped either. They're one of the best in the country at points per game and yards per game pretty consistently. And they're not flashy in what they do, but they consistently do it well. And I thought Years played well. I thought he played good. Again, Bond hasn't been healthy all year long. The receiver spot isn't healthy for them. They don't run it great, but I saw some anticipation. I saw some scrambling, making plays, and they did enough offensively. And listen, Texas is in the driver's seat. Like, they're in a great position. Yes. While everybody keeps losing, Texas hasn't had the most difficult schedule, and they keep taking care of business, and that's all that matters.
I do think if he could hit throws down 20 yards down the field, that they would be dominating teams.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. And I don't know what it is in terms of just timing. Some of them he floats, some of them he doesn't. But wait, speaking of consistency, by the way, you know who's very consistent right now?
Who?
That would be the Kansas Jayhawks, who have won after became the first FBS team ever to have a losing record and have three consecutive ranked opponents. Unreal. Devin Neal, holy cow.
Ever in the history of the game. Yes. Like, it's never been done before. Like, that's a big – and you know what? What I saw with Kansas, man, is what I've seen with Kansas for the past couple years. It reminded me of what I've seen from Indiana to start the season. Like, it's just – they know exactly who they are. They know what they are. They know what they want to be. Jalen Daniels is not the most elite passer. They don't ask him to be. They don't want him to be. And so I just think it's fun to watch a team that plays so tough, that plays so disciplined. Hey, third down, Brent, they're running the football. Myriad of ways, tons of ways, but third and nine, they're going to run the football. Neal was an absolute freak show. Like, that dude broke 20 tackles tonight, Brent. Over 20 tackles. Not like against their whole team, like the whole team. He broke over 20 tackles tonight against Colorado.
287 yards, 4 total touchdowns. Just, it was an unreal performance. They were the more physical team the entirety of that game. But Colorado, actually, given how things turned out in the Big 12, they're still not out of it. So, luckily.
No, but the Big 12, the driver's seat for the Big 12 now is Arizona State.
Which is
fantastic. And we've been talking about Arizona State for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks because they're really good, and they're finding ways to win, and they're physical, and they storm the field before the game's even over, and they still win. Like, that was it. Dillingham was absolutely losing his ever-loving mind.
He was going nuts.
He looks like he's 12, doesn't he?
He looks very young. I do agree with that. And he looked like he was throwing quite a tenter tantrum when you throw in the youth looking there. But Unreal. But which, speaking of, they had second and goal with the 3. And it ended up how it ended up, where they ran backwards forever, thought they'd run out the time, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And then it was just –
gave themselves a chance to lose because they ran backward. But let's not forget this. Here's – and yes, I'll criticize Dillingham for that. Here's one thing to realize. This roster has no business being 9-2. Like, no business. They have 3 good players on offense. Credit to them. They use those 3 players beautifully. Gearhart, I mean Scat Boo, running the rock in the backfield.
Yep.
Touches the ball a lot. Runs the football. Physical. Breaks tackles. Signs autographs after touchdowns. But how about Dillingham, homie G? How about you go up 14-0 in a big game? Last week they got up, they hit the brakes, and Kansas State started coming back. They go onside kick and they get it.
That was like, awesome.
Dillingham went all gas. I love that, man. I appreciate that. I think it's I think it's a he's done a great coaching job. He puts Tyson in the backfield. He's their best and only playmaker. He puts him in the backfield to get him the football. They run tight end screens. They run the most screens of anybody. They run the football. They pump the screens. They go. It's literally not a huge menu, but it's done really, really well. And yep. they maximize their best players. And I didn't even mention Levitt, who's a freshman yes. at the QB spot, who's got really good athletic ability that they also use. So it's just like, I thought it was a runaway that Cignetti was coach of the year. Like, I'm throwing Dillingham in there 100%. He's absolutely in the mix for coach of the year.
And the amazing part is he almost wasn't, because Retzlaff missed the cover two hole shot by a yard or two. And then the next throw
13 down the left sideline.
Yes.
Yes.
And then the next throw is the pick. So yep. it was that close for BYU, who, by the way, who fought in the game. And Retzlaff made a lot of plays to get them back into the game. The Roberts kid, really good receiver, but just wasn't enough. And Arizona State, kind of as you watch the majority of that game, just seemed like the more physical team.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was very clear. A&M is up 7, by the way, so Auburn now has
the ball. I saw an OT. And they did a great job of getting the ball, you know, to Toby Gearhart and letting him work.
You need to keep that one for draft time, by the way, because that comp, if he's a draft eligible guy that I haven't looked at yet, but
he transferred from Sacramento State. He's been in college for a while, but you got to trust him. If Auburn scores here and I'm Hugh Freeze, go for two and get the win. Try to get the dub, even though they're at home.
Penn State in that 3:30 window, by the way. We kind of looked at the games, previewed the games in the windows, and each window gave a lot of fun games. And James Franklin said, I'm going to put them on the table a little bit here.
Bro. Bro. Like, listen, it is what, before all the madness has happened today, like, he did, you know, he maybe thought he needed to push the panic button a little bit. James Franklin, you are backed up. You are up by one with 4 minutes to go, basically, in the football game on your own 35. You punt the football to Minnesota, whose offense is very inconsistent, very up and down. You go play defense, and you go win the football game. That dude said onions and absolutely fakes the punt, gets it down the field, runs out the rest of the clock. Man, oh, man. Listen, I got a lot to be frustrated with Penn State if I'm a Penn State fan. Like, the running game inconsistent, the slow starts, the explosive plays down the field is still going to be very much a question mark. Like, there's a lot of reasons to question what you're seeing, but what you do know is they took care of daggum business. They found a way to win. They were aggressive when it mattered, and James Franklin freaking came through for his squad, and they survive, and now one more week, and shoot, they might could lose and still get in the playoff because of everything that's going on.
Well, I think definitely that, but also they probably cemented a home game. Like, being at least, say, the sixth seed, I think, coming into this. But they, at worst, I think that's where they end up is as a sixth seed. Yeah. For sure. Notre Dame.
Bro,
speaking of high seeds with only one loss.
Listen, I've been on the Notre Dame train, and Brent, I'm going to continue to say this. I think they're a team that can win a national title. Like, they're on my list. They're on my short list of teams that can win it all. Like, they've got the running. The thing I like about their running game is they've got at least three guys that you feel really good about handing the ball to. And whether that's Love, Price, or Leonard, all of them average over 6 yards a carry. You can tell Mike Denbrock, he came from LSU. He worked with Jaden Daniels last year at LSU. And his offense is beautiful. I love the way he orchestrates. You can tell he's got a really good feel for Riley Leonard now, and they know exactly who they are. Defensively, they are playing their ace off, like stopping the run like crazy, flying up the field. Absolutely. You know, they got a safety, by the way. Have you seen number 8? What's his name? Golly. He's
I saw
an
the
absolute
jersey, because the jerseys are cool as all get out. Yes,
Shuler.
That's right.
He's an absolute heat-seeking missile. Like, but Notre Dame's got a bunch of guys that will skull flog you. Like, they're trying to knock you out. Like, I absolutely love that. I think Notre Dame is really, really good. They're in good position. They're going to sit the week of the championship weeks. They don't have to play. Yep. Then they'll probably host one. Like, they've done this, man. To me, they've done this. And we talked about it. We didn't think Army was going to give them a game, and they didn't. But just a great job by Notre Dame. A great bounce back from the NIU game, all the disappointment, the struggling offense, to figuring out who they are and absolutely, you know, dominating. What'd you say? It was 33 points a game since the loss?
At margin of victory, yep.
Yeah, and today was, again, right there with it. So Notre Dame, the luck of the Irish. The Irish look good.
Hugh did not listen to you, by the way. You did not have direct line to the headset. He kicked the extra point.
Yeah.
Well, so it's 38-38. Keep going.
We continue to play ball. We continue to rock and roll.
Speaking of playing ball and winning a game that they utterly dominated was, but they still had to come back and win, was Iowa State. Outgained Utah a country mile to not very much. And Utah had, let's see, a pick six, a block punt for a touchdown. Iowa muffed a punt, or Iowa State muffed a punt, and then they still came back and found a way to win.
So
it's Arizona State, Iowa State, driver's seat for the Big 12.
Correct. They control their destiny. I wrote it down earlier, the schedule. Like, Arizona State plays Arizona next week at Arizona. They win. They're in the Big 12 championship. Iowa State plays Kansas State at home. And if they beat Kansas State, they're in the Big 12 championship game. Obviously, Colorado plays Oklahoma State. They're still in it. And then BYU and Houston play. So you still got four teams that are technically alive, which is kind of cool down to the last weekend. But the Big 12 is an absolute – that's just goodness. I know some people look at that and say that they're not very good. No, I love that. I love when you've got a bunch of teams that can beat a bunch of teams. It makes it more fun.
It's quality football everywhere. It's not necessarily elite, win the whole thing, go win five games in a row in a play, or four games in a row in a playoff setting, but it's – well, they only have to win three, actually, likely. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Boise still survived and scathed by Wyoming. So they are still possibly in line for that four seed.
I got a great stat for you. Ashton Jeanty leads the nation in rushing, okay? Number two in the nation in rushing, do you know who it is?
It's not the Tennessee kid, is it? Is this
good trivia question? No, he's really good, but it's the Hampton kid from UNC.
Oh, yeah.
You know who's number three in the nation in rushing?
Probably Jeanty after contact.
Jeanty after contact. Yes. That is the best stat that I've ever seen in my life. Like, Jeanty after contact is number three in the nation. Like, he makes it happen. He had another 50-yard run. He got banged up again because he's got so many touches. But, like, I mean, just he's absolutely a monster. He's absolutely crazy. And there is a scenario, by the way, where the Big 12 – actually, I'm not even going to go through that scenario. Let's go to Georgia. Because Georgia, I'm not going through all that scenario. We're not doing all that crap. The Georgia game, if you're a Georgia fan, Brent, I'm excited because I'm saying Carson Beck looked really good again. And the offense continues to look really good. It looks like it's kind of turned the corner. But also, if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm like, UMass, the Minutemen, it was awful.
Like, 266 yards men.
Consistently just kept. Dude, it was crazy. They kept running the football and making plays, and you could see the mobile quarterback. And listen, early the first drive, it was nuts because the first quarter, the Minutemen had the ball almost the whole quarter, and Georgia had one possession. So it was kind of crazy. But what did you see from Georgia's defense?
Just lack of effort. Maybe not necessarily lack of effort, but lack of want to in a way, it just seemed like. And Kirby talked about it after the game, how they weren't matching the other team's intensity. And that's what you have to do. And you look at what Georgia's schedule's been, it's kind of natural for teams to kind of take a breath when you see a 2-8 team that didn't have an FBS win come into your stadium, and the stands kind of were reflective of that too. But it's still for them – they're right where they want to be. They got to beat Georgia Tech on Friday night. We won't be watching because we'll be at a high school football game, game.
Carson Rollins came up big. Britton Rollins' son came up big in the game the other night.
By the way, he and I both did not do much movement today.
Today?
Yeah, because – so he tackled 215 pounds a lot of times last night, and he's not very big. And I did one of those things on a bike that's the reason you don't mountain bike with me.
Flipped off?
Little flip over action.
Oh.
Head, shoulder, hip is all a little
– That's the only reason I won't mountain bike with you. I want to, but I'm not – I've broken my neck. I'm not going down that path again. We're not doing that.
You can't do that. But Georgia did survive. Georgia got it right. And I think once they got one stop, then the second group came in, you got a lot more, and they took care of business.
Hey, I'm going to give you an observation that I saw from the game.
Okay.
Georgia's continuing to play a lot of wide receivers. Like, they're playing a bunch because I think they're trying to figure out who gives them the best chance to win. I think it's smart. You saw a ton more. You saw White today, who's healthy, who looks like he's really good with the ball in his hands. Tuggle was out there. Humphrey was out there, obviously. Speed was out there at one point, 83 or 82, 82 or 83.
Spear.
He looks pretty good, too. I think, Brent, number three, when you give him space, bro, he looks so good. Like, if Georgia can get the run game going a little bit, if they can give three – Nate Frazier, the freshman from California. If they can give him space, my gosh, he's got that quick little wiggle, man. He's just got that I run full speed and then little wiggle that makes you drop jock straps on the ground. Like he is.
He's different.
God, he's noticeable. Different, man.
It's instantly noticeable.
It's noticeable. I think he's the best. I think he's the best player on the offense still. Like I saw that again today. I'm just like, dude, that he just could be so flipping good. So good.
You talking about him reminded me of the game that he broke out and had a great game, and that was the first game.
Yeah.
And speaking of somebody who had a good day today, even though they only played the Citadel, was the Clemson Tigers. Because
it's good to be a
now
Tiger.
With all of the action and chaos, I mean, they're sitting there at 17, and you've got a lot of L's in front of them. And they get to 10-2, and you know, hey, Miami. If Miami happens to drop one against Syracuse next week, and they're in the ACC championship game, they got a chance to punch an automatic bid and be a three seed. But they're back into the playoff conversation, I think.
Where's the game next? Where's the game against South Carolina?
Ooh, I can't. I think it is at South Carolina.
I think it's at South Carolina too. Let me tell you something about Clemson.
No, that is a home game. That is a home game.
Thank God.
Death Valley.
They don't want to play. They don't want to go to South Kakalaka. And Clemson's offensive line is beat to absolute crap. I mean, they started a freshman versus Pitt. He gets hurt in the first series. Like, they are playing all kinds of guys that are young, that are out of position, that are, like, literally going right tackle to left tackle. And, I mean, just all over the flipping place. So they're going to have to get that fixed. And obviously the 50-yard run with Klubnik against Pitt cured a lot of ails because they took care of business. But they're just going to have to get healthy on the offensive line. I think they could get a couple guys back for that game. If you're not healthy on the offensive line versus South Carolina, like, good luck. You've seen that.
Yes.
We've seen that movie all year long. It's a house of horrors. If you got any questions, by the way, and you want us to answer in the chat while we're waiting on this Auburn game to finish up too, fire away. We will answer any question you got. Brent, you're going to have to do the good job of highlighting it. But
yes. Speaking of questions, so say South Carolina takes care of business there at Clemson and is now would be 9-3. And you've got 9-3 Alabama, 9-3 Ole Miss, and there's maybe that one spot where it's one of those type of teams.
And all three beat each other.
And they all kind
of – All three of those teams beat each other, which is kind of cool.
Well, Ole Miss beat South Carolina. Alabama beat South Carolina, but
correct.
South Carolina's rolling, playing better. That's one of the things I think that college football now has that's unique. We talked about earlier with the coach part. Is the, hey, I don't want to play that team at this point in time. And Florida's one of those teams. Kansas is one of those teams. And South Carolina right now is one of those teams where they might struggle early, but they find themselves and really get rolling at the end of the season. But that three loss SEC and others, that one final spot for the playoff thing, that's going to get very interesting, I think.
You need to get those tiebreakers out, by the way. You got the SEC tiebreakers so we can
– Well, if Auburn hangs on right here, they're up three. It's now fourth down, as it looks like A&M's maybe bringing on the kicker, I think.
Kickers.
Auburn wins, then it's UGA versus the winner of Texas and Texas A&M next week. I'm quite certain that's the case.
So we got the Big
12. Now, if A&M somehow wins, then it opens up a few boxes of possibilities.
I feel so – I mean, just like watching for Auburn fans, like I feel their pain. Like I literally – I literally am watching that going like – it's hard not to cheer for Auburn when you watch them this year give up so many like leads and so many bad things that happen. Like – it's hard not to cheer for him because it's just, shanked putts, it's interceptions, it's golly, it's been a myriad of things that always go wrong in the fourth quarter. The A&M game, they get outscored 31-7 at one point. Like that's the run that they go, A&M goes on. And, yep. And by the way, Marcel Reed is going to be a dude because it's one better. Thing to have, it's one thing to be a freaky athlete. They're not great up front. Auburn, War Eagle. Is it War Eagle? Did they just win?
No. Well, that was earlier. You might be ahead of me. You might be
ahead
of me.
My bad. No, that was a flashback. So Auburn, what was I at? I completely lost my train of thought. I was so excited.
You're talking about Marcel Reed.
Yeah, Marcel Reed's going to be a dude because he is a freak athlete. They're not great on the offensive line, but to me it's his poise. Like, he's got so much poise in the pocket. He is an elite freak show, but he doesn't look to run all the time. Like, he looks to pass first, which I think is really cool and gives him a chance to really be great once
he nailed it. Because
they got in all kinds of trouble with the injuries at the running back spot, so they've been banged up like crazy. And right.
Great question from Case on X, Twitter, whatever. Got? Would you rather go up north for an away game in the first round or try to win your conference and get a dome game?
The team, it definitely depends on the team. And here's the thing, too. Like, if you're a great running team, you can play anywhere. Like, if you're a great running team, the weather isn't that big of a deal. But when you're a passing team and you consistently rely on the pass, I'm just telling you, the ball gets heavier. Like, the ball hurts more when it hits your hands. You don't move as fast because your body's not loose. Like, it is going to be a realistic thing. The home field advantage will be a big deal. Going south, it'll be a big deal because you ain't been in any kind of heat like that. And going north, you ain't been in any kind of cold like that. So, 100% it's going to matter. Like, that is going to be a big deal in deciding the playoffs.
I think it's the drop passes to me that when the cold weather is, you just, I mean, we saw it in the high school game the other night. I mean, when it was 30-something degrees at the middle part of the game where just passes that are normally caught, that the ball's just a rock that you're trying to catch. We're going into the third overtime with Auburn and A&M. Did you happen to see the end of the Illinois game against Rutgers?
Absolutely wild. Wild.
Because that was – and when I saw it, I thought it might have been a Hail Mary. And then because I saw the – play in the score, the box score thing. And then I went back and like watched it. It was just a little drop over the middle that he then outran everybody, Pat Bryant, for the win.
Well, I was waiting to see when he was going to get caught because they were going to be in field goal range anyways. So yeah. They could have ended the game, but it was like he just kept running. He kept going. Like, unbelievable. Like, Illinois' passing attack is insane. Like, it's crazy that you couldn't be any more polar opposite than what Bielema used to be and what Illinois used to be with 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And you watch Chase Brown balling. By the way, he's balling with the Bengals, doing a great job.
Yes.
And now they pass the football all over the place, and they're a passing team. And so it's kind of crazy. It's crazy to watch Illinois making plays, though.
Penn State was happy for that Illinois comeback right there.
Yeah.
That's their one ranked win.
That is Penn State's best win. I don't think it's going to matter, though. I mean, I think the close loss with Ohio State is probably going to be enough. I mean, that's just – listen, everybody's going to have dings, and everybody's going to be spread out in the two losses. You know who's a big winner today? Tennessee.
I would say Tennessee, yes. SMU is another one, too, because SMU, I think, now puts themselves in a position where if they're 11-1 in the ACC championship game, and they're likely going to be.
They're in the ACC. They clinched today in the ACC championship game.
Right, but at least be 11-1 going into it.
Yeah.
Then, hey, I'm not going to – the guys already said we're not necessarily – we're going to value being in the championship game. They're 11-1 in the ACC championship game. Even if they lose, does that keep them in? That's going to be – are you 11-2 SMU that just – that lost an SEC or ACC championship game versus, you know, maybe a three-loss SEC team?
That would be nuts. And then Miami just, you know, they took care of business today. They made it look complicated with Wake Forest.
It was very close for a while, and then all of a sudden it wasn't.
Well, it was 14-10 Miami, I think it was, and then Wake Forest was going in to score, and then they throw a pick six, yep. You know, going in to score. Wake Forest is tough to watch. Golly, they're it's a struggle. I think at one point in the fourth quarter that they hadn't completed a pass. So it's it was a struggle. But Miami's defense, if you're a Miami fan, you're like, thank you. The defense, you know, stepped it up. You know, made some plays when they needed to, got some sacks when they needed to, stop the run, because obviously Wake Forest is a good running football team. But we continue to go to more overtimes with Auburn, yes. And A&M. Just keep rocking and rolling, baby. Just, yeah, baby.
All right, so another team that had a great day, Oregon. They didn't play. I mean, that's actually been a theme. All season is, hey, you had a really good day because you didn't play, and people that you were rooting for to lose. Speaking of rooting for to lose, did you see that the Tennessee fans did the Gator Chomp in Neyland Stadium? That's the world that we live in college football right now, where Tennessee fans.
And that's what we've been talking about on the pod. Yeah. We've been talking about that. Like, you need to learn to put your hatred aside for your rivals and cheer for your team to get in the playoffs. That is fantastic. Tennessee fans, tip of the cap. That is how it's done. That is what you are looking for. Whatever it takes to get to that point is all that matters. That's all that matters.
So it says 2-point attempt. I'm looking at 4-13.
Well, it's all 2-point attempts now. Yeah. Remember after the second overtime, like – third, it's just two. Yeah. It's 2-point attempt, Palooza, which tries to shorten the game from.
And it looks like Auburn just got theirs.
17. Well, I'm glad because you're ahead of me on mine, so that's great. I'm glad you're spoiling it because.
Which Jarquez, by the way, we have the same internet, and
Hunter just went back.
I think
into
yours
the backfield.
Is way better. And I'm still ahead of you. That's shocking.
Was it the Freaky Friday kid?
It looked like Coleman.
No, that was Lambert Smith. That was
Lambert
five.
Smith,
dude. And that's what I've seen from Auburn, man. Like, Lambert Smith making plays, Cam Coleman making plays. I mean, they've done a great job taking shots down the field. And,
think about the Auburn fan base, by the way. You're talking about the demons
so
and feeling
great.
As a fan. But look at that atmosphere is insane right now.
Yeah, and you got a night game, which makes it even worse. Which by the way, that makes the Big Ten games so bad. All the afternoon games, like, man, I want the big games at night. It's still going to be an adjustment for me. Not being on CBS at 3:30 is an adjustment for me. Usually that window's like really good, you know, like,
yeah,
it's very strange, but,
it's weird hearing, Gary Danielson and Brad Nessler call
do Big Ten
non huge games.
And then you hear Todd Blackledge.
Oh, did he drop it? He dropped it. Auburn won.
Wow. War Eagle has to be jacked out of their mind. Like, listen, been a rough year. They've been in so many close games. They've had so many opportunities to win a man, and they found ways to lose. They tried to lose this one. The atmosphere is absolutely bananas. Storm in the field. Like, that's what college football is about, man. That is so cool. Hey, they came up with some clutch field goals. Some clutch catches, like. So, what's the tiebreaker, Brent? Give me the tiebreaker now because we need it. So
I think it's Georgia versus the winner of the game next week.
So Georgia A&M, versus A&M or Texas?
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah, that's what we get.
Okay, so here's a nuts thing for you: if you're a Texas fan, now if you beat A&M, who's possibly ranked in the low 20s, You replay Georgia in the SEC championship game and you lose again. Is Texas out of the playoffs?
I think because of the other chaos, they're a team that benefited today.
Yeah, I think they benefited too. And if their two losses are to one team, this is nuts. This is so awesome and so new and so we're going to figure this out together as we go.
On the fly, live.
On the fly. Hey, talk about Georgia's secondary, though. I think talk about the change they made at cornerback. I think that might be a difference for Georgia.
Talking about Harris?
Yeah.
Because he didn't look great today on the long – giving up the long TD.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
And he's done that before already. After playing his tail off against Tennessee, that was the – I mean, he can't – Humphrey got the PI, and then he comes in and plays his tail off in the best game he's played at Georgia there, and then was kind of there. And I think that's what the issue is with him, is kind of the up and down – of his game, at least mentally in the focus, and we've seen that at practice firsthand. But interesting, you said Lambert Smith made that 2-point catch there for Auburn.
Yeah,
he would probably look really good in a Penn State uniform right now because that's where he transferred from.
Yep. Hey, so how about this? How about this for Hugh Freeze? That's Hugh Freeze's first win against a ranked opponent in his two years there. First win. And they've been
so
in.
So many close ones. They've been in.
And they've been in a lot of games. So, like, their ability to close and the quarterback up and down. But Peyton Thorne, good for him.
The first one should have, last year against Alabama, and you give up fourth and whatever, 31 or something
33?
Like that. Yeah, that was really bad. But this is, hey. Big win for them. Well, now for A&M, they get to put all their focus on Texas.
Yeah.
Because they have to beat Texas to get in the SEC championship game.
What a great crowd. Yeah, that ball was dropped. Philly special almost. It was Philly special-esque kind of. It was actually just not same as Philly special because the QB was offset to the other side. But really good play call, just bad execution by A&M. I mean, right through his hands. That's unfortunate. All right, what A&M, else you got?
By the way,
we hit just about everything in the world.
Yes, we did. A&M wins next week, though. They're 9-3 in the SEC championship game. That means, you know, if they win, they're 10-3. Georgia's also 10-3. So, like, the insanity of all of this is everyone's expectations of what it was going to look like in terms of, hey, or how are we going to have all these two-loss teams and we're going to kick somebody out because they're going to have two losses and a good team's going to be left out. All the dominoes are kind of falling a little bit and helping the playoff committee.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They'll find a way to screw it up. Sorry. I shouldn't have said that. That's not very nice. But again, 12 human beings in a room with different backgrounds. Some like legs, some like other body parts. So, I mean, it's going to be always different. But I know one thing. We will be there.
We'll be talking about it.
We'll be here Tuesday night. We'll talk about it. We'll go through it. We'll dissect it. And it should be absolutely upside down. Like, it should be so many changes, it's nuts. And that's what's great about this sport. And this sport's probably not going to go back ever the other direction. The parity is here to stay with the NIL, with the transfer portal. A lot of teams in it. Who gets hot? Who gets played, you know, down the who gets hot? Who gets playing well down the stretch?
Five of the top 15 lost.
If you didn't play today – it was a good day.
A good
All right, y'all
day.
Have a good one.